Well, how many of you are excited to be here today? And how many of you are excited for what the Lord has in store? Amen? Yes. We have, it is one of our favorite Sundays. It is Water Baptism Sunday. And so we are just thrilled and so excited for what God's going to just continue to do in our lives. Real quick, hold on one second. Honey, could you grab me? No, I've had so much coffee. I don't need any more coffee. Yeah, tea, please. That would be great. I wasn't fully paying attention when on our dates and when we were working on our schedule. Most of our worship team is actually in kids' church, but thank goodness we have the coverage in there because we have an influx of kids today, which is phenomenal. And we love our kids, and you know, we don't just do babysitting. We really do teach about Jesus and worship Jesus in our kids' church times, and we love being over there. And so I always tell our worship team, I'm like, you know, part of being on the worship team is we get scheduled for kids' church. We want to make sure that they are getting our best, and I'm so thankful for what the Lord's doing in those young hearts and in those young lives. You teach them young, train them when they're young, and they won't go astray. Amen. All right. Well, we're going to get going. And if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Joshua chapter 3 this morning. Joshua chapter 3. And that is in the Old Testament. Joshua 3. And we're doing our water baptisms today. And I wanted to, I actually just had the sense as I was praying and as I was preparing this morning to really ask the question, you know, how many of us have been standing near the waters of baptism, but we haven't actually taken the step into the water. You know, we get close enough to the things that God has asked us, and oftentimes we treat the things of God like it's like a graduation ceremony. A lot of times people will come to water baptism and they'll be like, well, now I'm a serious Christian, or now I've graduated to the next level. But how many of you know water baptism is not a graduation? It's an encounter with the Lord Jesus. And it's something that we actually do in obedience to him because Jesus himself was baptized. Now, I don't know about you, but if Jesus didn't need to be baptized. He was perfect in every way. But he did it for our example, that he and for as something that we are to do. And I think it's such a marvelous testimony that many of us here have been baptized in water before, but it's always such a good reminder of your personal encounter with the Lord and what he's done in your life. And I don't know about you, but when we're doing water baptisms, I'm often reflecting on my own decision that I made many, many years ago and when I was baptized in water. And it's this public declaration that my life belongs to him, right? My life is his. And so sometimes I think we get the wrong perspective of water baptism. Thank you, honey. Yeah, I was like, oh man, I'm talking too much, I'm singing, they're doing too much today. So I was like, we need a little less of me up here on Sundays, and we'll get a little bit more of everybody else. So oftentimes, we treat the things that God has given us, the sacraments. We've been in this study called The Names of God. And over the last few weeks, we've been looking at the sacraments or the practices or the things that has been given to us by God, the things that have been given to us by the Lord, for the church to do. We've talked about communion. We've talked about our giving. We've talked about the peace offering and what God has done there. And we're going to be talking about others. And today I want to talk about water baptism specifically. You know, I think there's just a lot of misconception when it comes to water baptism. Sometimes we run from the waters because we know that when we make that decision, really what we're saying is that my old life has died and now I'm alive in him and I'm no longer living for myself or for my agenda or my purposes or my plans, but I'm living for him. And so we come to the waters, we have to ask ourselves, am I really willing to surrender everything to him? You know, during our time of worship this morning, you know, that is something that we do is that when we come together, and I kind of briefly talked about this, but when we lift our hands, it's this posture of surrender. It's a humbling thing. And oftentimes our heart follows our outward expression of obedience. And we can say things like, well, you know, I don't really actually need to sing. I'm just going to think about the words. Or I don't really need to lift my hands. I'm just going to, the Lord knows my heart. And I think many times we go through life and we try to follow the Lord on our terms. And we treat him as though, you know, as a convenience. We treat him as though we have options. Like, I'll be Christian, but, you know, I'm not going to be at church every week. But how many of you know the Lord has given us specific instructions in the Word and in Scripture as to how we're to worship him, how we're to follow him, how we're to be obedient to him? And these are all different expressions for the believer to encounter just how good he is. And I become wary. You know, I hear believers or Christians sometimes will say, you know, I encounter the Lord in my time of worship. And that's really where, you know, not so much prayer. And I think that should be a little bit of a warning sign, because how many of you know he's given us all of these things and all these expressions, and that they're all different ways that we can experience the Lord. You guys know what I'm saying? So if I was to, okay, I am married to my wife. We have been married for many, many years. I got to do the math in my head. It is 23 years, going on 23 years. There we go. Okay. Yeah, I was a baby when we got married. I look at pictures, I'm like, who let us get married? Like, I was a child. We were 21, right? We were 21. Yeah. I don't want my kids doing any math in their heads. No, I'm just kidding. But if I was to be married to my wife, and I said, you know, I really only enjoy marriage when we go out on a date. So I'm only just going to be in a marriage relationship. And we're married, I'm married, but I'm only going to see her, you know, Friday nights when we go to my favorite restaurant. And that's just the best time. So that's the way I'm going to encounter my marriage. I'm going to experience my marriage. How many of you know there's so many other facets? There's the daily conversations. There's the recaps. There's the breakfast together. There's the going on a walk together. There's all these different things. And how many of you know, if for us to truly know the Lord and to truly walk with him, we should be doing it his way. And if he's saying, this is how you worship me, lift your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. If it says, sing to the Lord a new song, which means what is in your heart, sing to him a new song. How many of you know if we aren't doing those things, we're holding back a little bit? Yeah. Well, that's not my style. Well, it's not about your style. It's about him. Yeah. I think many people go to church, and they go to churches where they feel comfortable, where they feel like, oh, it just feels nice, or it's convenient, or, you know, I can do my thing. But how many of you know church isn't even for the believer? It's for the believers to come and to worship the Lord, yeah, and to worship him. It's for him. Now, in his goodness, when we gather together as the church, how many of you know he pours himself out? And yeah, you get encouraged, and he shows you things, and he speaks to you, and faith becomes real. But it's not about you. It's about us coming to the Lord and saying, Lord, you're worthy of all of it. Lord, I'm so thankful for what you've done in my life. And how many of you know church is one of those expressions? It's one of those things that he's saying, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, but gather all the more as you see the day approaching. Meaning what? That there is an experience, an encounter that can only happen when we gather together as the church to worship the Lord together. Amen? Yeah. I mean, I hear people say, I don't really need to go to church to be a Christian. You're missing out. I said, you're missing out. Yeah. And if we consistently put walls in front of us to say, well, I'll do this, but I'm not going to do that, we treat our relationship with God like an a la carte menu. But how many of you know we want all of him? Yeah. I don't know about you, but I need more. Yeah. If you need more, raise your hand. I mean, come on, we need more of him. And we go through the world, and we get tired, and we get weary, and yet we don't do the things that he's asked, and we're like, why am I so exhausted? Why, God, where are you? And we don't realize that we've been kind of moving and shuffling our feet further and further because we're not saying yes. Yeah. And so when we come to the waters of baptism, this is the ultimate sign and symbol and sacrament that says, I am no longer my own. Yeah. I belong to Jesus. I am his. My old life is gone. I'm not living how I used to live. Does that mean I'm going to be perfect? Of course not. Does that mean if I go home after being baptized in water and I mess up, did it not mean anything? Of course not. How many of you know his grace is strong? Yes. I said the grace of Jesus is so strong. Yes. Never underestimate it. He is a better forgiver. He is a better savior than you are a sinner. You cannot out-sin the grace. But we do need to come and say, Lord, I'm putting that to the side. I'm coming back to you, Jesus. We need to repent. So you know how religion becomes religion? It's when we turn from the world, but we don't turn to Jesus. So many Christians will say, you know what? I'm going to do better. When I do better, then I'm going to be baptized. When I can actually live a life that is holy, good luck. If I can live a holy life, then I'm going to get baptized in water. When I feel it, then I'm going to get baptized. Listen, you'd be waiting all day. There it is. You preached it better than I ever could. There we go. All he's looking is for a surrendered heart. And how many of you know a surrendered heart is a powerful thing? Yes. I said it's a powerful thing. That's why, listen, the Lord does not, that's why we give. We talked about that last week. We don't give because the Lord needs your money. It all belongs to him. We give because we are surrendering and posturing ourselves before the Lord, and we're saying, Lord, you are my provision. My trust is in you. And so oftentimes our heart follows that the practical things that we do. Amen? That's why when you come to church on Sundays, my encouragement to you would be, you know, don't listen to the latest hip-hop album, and I know there's been some new releases. No, get your hearts ready to receive the Lord. Because how you come in here, it's going to matter for you. You can have two people in the same room, and one person can say, man, I don't understand a thing, and I didn't even feel like God was there, and the other person can be broken down and giving their life to Jesus and having their eyes open to his glory and his beauty. Why? It's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of the heart. So our time of worship, and the reason we start our times on Sundays in worship is, number one, we're welcoming the presence of the Lord. But number two, we're reminding ourselves why we're here.
Yeah, that's good.
We're here for him.
Yeah.
Okay. And so we've been in a study called The Names of God. And the name that stood out to me as I was praying was Yahweh Makadosh, which means the Lord who sanctifies. Everybody say, the Lord,
the Lord.
Who sanctifies. Let's say it again. The Lord who sanctifies. Every time the Lord gives us a name, he's really declaring, this is who I am. This is how I operate. It's just what I do. It's a part of me, meaning when you encounter me, you encounter this part of me. And he says, and we come to Leviticus 20, verse 8, and this is where we find that name. It says, you shall keep my statutes and perform them. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Now, I think that sounds to some of you like a religious word, and it's often used in religious terms, so we lose the meaning of it. But what does the word sanctify mean? Well, it literally means to be set apart. It means to be used for a specific purpose, right? So literally, if you have a cup, I have this cup, and it has a purpose right now, which is to hold this tea that my wife so graciously brought me and to, I don't know, lubricate my throat. I don't know. That's the purpose, okay? But when you take this cup and if you were to put oil in it and it was to be the oil on the altar, how many of you know it has it's the same materials, it's the same substances, but it's set apart for a different purpose,
yeah.
Right? It looks the same on the outside, but its intended function is totally different. And so the word sanctified means to be in process. It's where you are pulled out and you're no longer in the old function and purpose. You're set apart for a new one. And how many of you know that's what we're celebrating today? He is the Lord who sanctifies us. And so for every single person who has given themselves to the Lord Jesus, that is the word that God is speaking over you today. He says, I'm the Lord who sanctifies you. He did not say, I'm the Lord who hopes that you can sanctify yourself. Boy, I hope this person, man, I hope you can get it right because, you know, I'm a holy God. And if you don't make me happy, you know, I'll strike you with lightning. I said it last week, and I've heard so many people say, if I step foot in a church, the Lord's going to strike me with lightning. If the Lord wanted to strike you with lightning, you got struck, right? You're going to get struck, okay? No, he's the Lord who does the work. He's the one who sanctifies us. He says, I am the one who does this, not you. I finished the work. I have set you apart. And the Lord says, that is my name. I'm the one who takes you in all of your brokenness, in all of your weakness, in all of your imperfections. I take you and I set you apart for my purpose, for my plans, for my dreams for your future. Amen. How many of you know that's what Scripture says? Scripture says, I know the plans that I have for you. Did you know that God has a plan for your life? And I would imagine that God, who created all things, who stretched out the heavens, who brought the light, who spoke the world into existence. Scripture says all things are held together by his word. Who is the word? None other than Jesus himself. And here it is, and he holds all things together, and he's saying, listen, this is what I do. This is who I am. And so we come to Joshua 3. And this is a point, and I'm just going to give a little context. This is where the people of Israel are about to cross the River Jordan. Now, they had been in the wilderness for 40 years. Everybody say 40. That's a long time to be wandering. That's a long time to have this promise from God. God spoke to the people of Israel. He brought them out of slavery, out of Egypt, where they had been in bondage for 400 years. And he brought them out with miracles, with signs and wonders. And he says, I'm going to bring you into a new land, into a promised land. How many of you know God has promises for your life? And here's Israel. They've been waiting for 40 years. They've been in the wilderness. And they come to this river. They come and they've been with the Lord. And they've seen continued provision where they get manna from heaven every day. And they drink water from rocks. And their sandals don't wear out, right? God supernaturally sustained them in this journey through the wilderness while he was working on their hearts to be with him. And now he brings them to the promise. And they can see it. It's right there. It's across the river. But they've come to the River Jordan, and it is flooding season, meaning this is not a creek. This is not a, oh, there's a little stream like Sugar River over here where you can just kind of just go around. No, this was a rushing river, and it was flood season. And they come now, and he says, I want you now to cross the Jordan River. And so we come to Joshua chapter 3, and listen to what God says starting at verse 13. He says, it shall come to pass. I just sense the Lord right there. It shall come to pass. There are things that the Lord has said about your life, and he's saying, it shall come to pass. There are things, there's promises that God has given you specifically, dreams and visions and words, and he's saying, it shall come to pass. Yes. Say amen.
Amen.
He is the faithful one. It shall come to pass that when the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off. The waters that come down from upstream, and they shall stand as a heap. I want you to notice that the instruction was, I want you to go into the river, these rushing rapids. Now, I have been in rapids before, and I've canoed down a river that turned into rapids, and that was the most dangerous moment in my life. Okay, I got pinned under a canoe as it was filling with water, and I was like, I think this is it. I think it's going down, right? This is not a safe thing. And he's saying, I want you to take the Ark of the Covenant. Think of this. The Ark of the Covenant was the presence of God. It was what they traveled with through the wilderness. And because God was saying, I want to be with you right now. I don't want to wait for the promise. I want to be with you right now. And so there's this Ark of the Covenant. And the priests were given specific instructions as to how to carry the Ark of the Covenant. Okay? How many of you know the Lord gives us specific instructions how to entertain and welcome his presence? And so they have these specific instructions, and they're to take the ark, and they're to step foot into the River Jordan, these rapids. Now, this is the most prized possession in Israel. And the priest, I can only imagine the priest that was in the front carrying it, like, you want me to what now? You want me to put my foot in that? Like, it's a rapid. How many of you know the waters, God didn't say the waters will part before you get to put your foot in there? He said, no, the waters will stop when your foot goes in. How many of you know obedience is important to the Lord? Because obedience is saying, Lord, I'm trusting you more than what I see. I'm trusting what you have said more than what I feel, more than what makes sense, more than what I know. And so as we talk about water baptism, I want us to notice this. The wilderness ends at the river. The time of wandering, the time of purposelessness, the time of waiting for Israel, they come to the Jordan, it ends at a river, and the inheritance starts on the other side. And the water doesn't part before the priests get their feet wet, the water parts after. And so the water moves when we take that step of obedience. The water moves when we step in. Everybody say, step in. How many of you know that everyone who has ever stood at the edge of obedience to God, I mean, it could be as simple, and I believe for many people, it starts here. I need to get right with God. Or I just need to go to church. You know how many times I hear people say that? I just need to get right. I just need to go to church. And I'm like, well, first of all, he's ready. He's waiting. But the first step of obedience is often the hardest. But everybody that has stood at the bank of actually walking out the things that God has done has felt what Israel was feeling in this moment. The river was high, but the inheritance was on the other side. And somewhere in the line of carrying that ark, there was a priest that had to take the first step. And the water didn't move until someone stepped in. I believe that some of you have been waiting for the waters to move before you step in. Oftentimes, we will say, God, I need you to prove yourself to me. How many of you know he is not a performance? Yeah. He's already finished the work. We'll say things like this. We'll make it sound very biblical. God, give me a sign. Will you perform for me, entertain me, do something in my life, then I'll follow you. But how many of you know God doesn't change the rules for anyone? That's right. He's already finished the work. Amen? Yeah. He's already made a way. Amen? Yeah. And for us to inherit the promise that is on the other side, he's saying, you got to step in. You got to step in. Amen? And then watch what the Lord will do in your life. Oh, there is no greater adventure than walking and following the Lord. There is no greater satisfaction than walking and following the Lord. There is nothing else that satisfies, because why? He is satisfaction. If you have Jesus, you have everything. Amen? If we truly believe that Jesus is all in all, that everything is held together by him, that everything good comes from him, then why don't we actually believe that he is enough? Why do we keep looking for other things? Why do we keep looking for fame, for riches, for success, for relationships? He's everything. And when you have him, Jesus himself said, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Why? Because I have all of it. Yes. It all belongs to me. Amen? Amen? And so how do we receive the promises of God? We step in. We walk in obedience. I want us to notice the waters part when the priest steps in. The miracle is on the obedient side of the waters. The promise is on the obedient side of the waters. The breakthrough in your life is on the obedient side of the waters. And this is what I believe should bring every person to our feet, and we should begin to praise the Lord. I'm not saying you have to do that, but it should, okay? It's 1 Peter 2:9. Peter says it very plainly. He says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. If you're a believer in Christ Jesus, I got news for you. You are a part of the priesthood. Yes. Congratulations. Yes. That means that you don't need someone to step in the water for you. The Lord is saying, no, I'm calling you to step in the water.
That's right.
And watch me bring breakthrough in your life. Amen? And when you do, when you step foot in obedience, the waters of every old life, the wandering, the purposelessness, the wilderness, those waters stop moving when you step in. Amen? Now, we're talking about sacraments. So why water? Why did God choose water? Why did he say, believe? Why does Scripture say, believe and be baptized? We, for those of you that don't know, we are a spirit-filled evangelical church, right? So we have a hard time sometimes with the physical things and allowing them to actually be spiritual. Why does God insist on using a physical substance, in this case, water? Why didn't God just say, you know what? I'm just going to give you a prayer to pray. I'm going to give you a moment to feel, and I'm going to give you an idea to agree with, and that's enough. Why do we have to come forward? Why do we have to get baptized in front of other people? And here's why. Because from the very first verse of the Bible, God has been at work in the water. Genesis 1:2, this is the very beginning, says the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God, everybody say the Spirit of God. How many of you know the Trinity was there at creation? Amen. Jesus did not appear in a manger. He was there. The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. I want us to notice that before there was light, before there was land, before there was sky, there was water. Everybody say water. And what was the Spirit of God doing? It was hovering over it. The Spirit of God was hovering over the water. That word hovering is the Hebrew rakpa, which literally is used in Deuteronomy 32 for an eagle hovering over its chicks. Wings spread, being present, brooding over them and ready to act and to defend. That is what the Spirit of God was doing over the water. It was hovering. He was there. The Spirit of God hovered over the waters at the beginning of everything. And what happened? Creation happened. I want us to consider this, and I'm going to get us moving because we got to keep going. I want you to consider God has never not been at work in water. He divided a sea so his people could walk through it. He pulled his prophet out of the belly of a fish. He told a sick general to dip 7 times in mud in a muddy river, and he came out healed. He sent his prophet to make the iron of an axe head float. He turned a clay pot of water at a wedding into the best wine the steward ever tasted. That right there should give us pause. We're like, that doesn't fit my theology. Doesn't matter. He told a blind man to wash in the pool of Siloam, and the man came back seeing. That doesn't fit my theology. It doesn't matter. The angel of the Lord stirred the pool of Bethesda. What is this? Stirred the pool of Bethesda, and whoever stepped in it first was healed. That doesn't fit my theology. It doesn't matter. The God of the Bible loves to use water. And so when Jesus says, the way that you publicly belong to me is by going into the water, he's not picking some random thing. He's not just saying, well, you know, this will give them something to do while I'm away. No, there is history in the water. And there is a thread that runs from the Holy Spirit hovering over the deep, through Noah's flood, through the Red Sea, through the Jordan, through the prophets, all the way to a Sunday in Madison, Wisconsin, where people are going under the water in front of witnesses saying, I belong to Jesus. Yeah. Can we welcome up Izzy?
Try to make this quick.
So I asked Izzy to share. And if you feel like you need to leave, you can go, but we're going to celebrate you.
I'll try to make it quick.
Go for it.
Okay. Hey, everybody. For those who don't know me, my name is Izzy. I go to school at University of Minnesota, so I'm there majority of the year. But today I'm going to be sharing a little bit about myself and why I'm choosing to say yes to the Lord. My family grew up in church. We didn't go every single Sunday, but I knew who God was. In middle school, my mom put me in youth group, and at that point in time, I would literally beg her to turn the car around when she would take me. It was the same with church. I wouldn't dare sing. I was one of those kids who thought I was too cool for Jesus. But as I got older and life was lifing, and I'm sure we all know how that goes, I knew I was missing something. On the outside, I was this bubbly, happy person who could make everyone laugh, but on the inside, I felt angry, lost, anxious, and constantly worried. I was internalizing so many things, and honestly, God saved me from me. My freshman year of college was rough. Maya can attest to it. She was my roommate. But during that season, like a lot of people in college, I lost myself. In high school, I was surrounded by friends and teammates I had known forever. And then suddenly, everything was new. I was always hesitant to fully turn to God because I thought I was too old or that I had already made too many mistakes. I thought I needed some huge miracle story for Jesus to work in me and make me a believer. But that wasn't the case at all. All I needed was faith and the friendships around me that continued to sprinkle him into my life. The Lord completely changed the way I not only view myself, but my entire life. He took my pain and brokenness and started using it for good, not because of anything I did in my own strength. Sorry. But because he loved his love and grace, despite all my sins and guilt and shame. Sorry, I'm trying to get through this. That still sometimes linger in my mind. He continues to choose me, forgive me, and pursue me over and over again. The road that brought me to where I am with the Lord today has not been easy. I look back at some of my first journal entries, and they were basically me saying, God, if you do this for me by tomorrow, then I'll believe you're real. And now I just look laughing back at it because I wanted God to move in my life the way I saw him move in all those stories you see on social media. But my journey with God has been different and in the best way possible. God answers prayers in his timing, not mine. Now I don't have to see it to believe it because I have faith in my Lord and Savior. Some days are mountains and some days are valleys. But through every season, he has stayed faithful. I have felt God calling me to get baptized for a while now. He has put it very heavily on my heart, and I'm so excited that I get to do it here today. My journey with God is still far from over, and I'm far from perfect, but his willingness to continue choosing me and forgiving me is exactly why I'm saying yes to him today.
Let's go get in the water. I just want to oftentimes when I'll be speaking, I'll see people's faces and I'll see the Lord speaking to them. You guys know what I'm saying? And I remember looking at Izzy and I was like, oh, the Lord's speaking right to her. And it's not the person up on stage. She was hearing the Lord. And I could see him working in you and speaking to you and drawing you to him. And that is such a beautiful thing. And that's something we can celebrate, amen. And so what I would like for us to do, church, can we stand? And I want us to extend our hands and just begin praying. Because this is not a graduation moment. This is an encounter with the Lord. As Jesus was baptized, the scripture says the Spirit descended upon him. The Holy Spirit descended upon him in like a dove, okay? And so it was a moment. It was an encounter with the Lord. And he went in praying. And so I want to encourage you, go down in the waters in faith. Go down praying and saying, Lord, I give my life to you. Lord, I'm surrendering all to you. Lord, my life is yours. Go down in the water praying. Come out praying. And I believe this is a moment between you and him. And so we're all here to celebrate, but we're all here to pray. So let's extend our hands. And church, can we just begin to pray and pray in the Spirit? Lord Jesus, I pray over Izzy right now. Lord Jesus, I thank you for her heart. Lord, I thank you for the work that you have begun in her. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, that your word says, Lord, that you are faithful to complete the work, Lord. Yes. I thank you for every prayer that has been prayed over her. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for every person that has pointed to you and testified of your goodness. And Lord, that Izzy is here today and she is saying yes, yes to you. Lord, that she is saying, I belong to Jesus. So Lord, we ask right now in this moment, would you meet her here? Would you come upon her, Lord? Would you fill her with your spirit in Jesus' name? We thank you, Lord, and we give you praise. Come on, church, just keep praying. Lord Jesus, we love you. Lord, we pray blessing over Izzy's life, blessing in Jesus' name. Fill her now, Lord, that she would know that you are her help. You are the one that watches over her, who leads her, Lord. We give you glory. Izzy, I'm going to ask you a couple questions. Have you given your life to Jesus?
Yes.
And do you reject the world? Do you reject its ways?
Yes.
And do you choose to follow Jesus from this day forward for the rest of your life?
Yes.
Then, Izzy, we baptize you now in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'm going to anoint her with oil. Oil is a representation of the Holy Spirit. It's another sacrament. When they would anoint the kings, they would put oil on their head. And how many of you know Jesus has ascended into heaven? He's given us his spirit. The things of this world that are in you are dead. And you are now alive in Christ Jesus. You've been buried with him and raised to life with him. And so now we're going to ask that the Lord would fill you with his spirit and that his spirit would come upon you. And so, Lord Jesus, church, pray with me. Let's extend. Lord Jesus, I pray over Izzy right now. Lord, I pray blessing over her. Fill her now with your spirit, Lord, that you would come down, Lord Jesus. And Lord, that your spirit would be on her life, Lord, that wherever she goes, Lord, that there would be an overflowing, an abundance of filling, Lord Jesus, to strengthen her, not only to walk obedient, but Lord, that it would be a spirit to be a witness, Lord Jesus. Lord, that you would fill her with power to be a witness for your kingdom, Lord. Lord, that your praise would be on her lips, Lord, that you would put a fire in her mouth, Lord Jesus, a fire in her heart, Lord. Lord, that you would fill her to overflowing. Lord, we thank you, Lord. Lord, that even though it's Izzy, it's the same Izzy we know, the same Izzy we love, Lord, she is a new person. Lord, the old has gone. Behold, all things are new. And so, Lord, we pray now, fill her, Lord, fill her now and anoint her for the plans and the purposes that you have for her. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Can we say amen?
Come on.
Do we got the towel? It's coming. I'm so proud of you. Yeah. Congratulations. Can we just worship? Let's just sing this chorus. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way in me. Lord Jesus, that's our prayer. Lord, we give our lives to you. We give our obedience to you because you are worthy. You are our King. You are our Lord. You're the one that we look to. You're the one who fills us with life. You're the giver of life. You're the one who has saved us, who brings healing to our hearts. And Lord, I pray over every person. Can we just lift our hands to the Lord? Lord, I pray over every person here today, Lord, that you would fill them, Lord Jesus, that they would know that you are their help, that you are the present one, the faithful one, the one that they can look to. Lord, we put our trust in you and we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord. Do we have an update? Are we good? I think we're good. All right. I would be remiss, first of all, and we're going to continue to celebrate, so I would encourage you, don't just leave. But in Scripture, and especially, in the New Testament, the time between people giving their life to Jesus and being baptized was not measured by classes. It was usually measured within minutes or hours. In fact, Scripture doesn't really know what to do with believers who have not been baptized. That it's just a part of the faith. And so if you're here today and you're saying, you know what, I'm fully clothed, but I need to do this right now, we can walk you through that, and we can do that after service. But Scripture says, seek the Lord while he may be found. We can always put off the decision to say yes to him for another day, but how many of you know tomorrow's never guaranteed, amen? And so if you're here today and you've not given your life to Jesus, it's such a precious thing, and it's the best thing you can ever do. I'm going to just ask that we just bow our heads, and we're going to take care of that right now. If you're here today and you've not given your life to Jesus, and you're saying, I want to give my life to Jesus, I'm saying yes to what he's done. I'm saying yes to the forgiveness of sins. I'm saying yes to make him the Lord of my life and to follow him. If that's you today, I'm going to ask that you just look at me and raise your hand, just ever so simply. Raise your hand and say yes to Jesus. Amen. Let's do this. With every head bowed, let's just say, Lord Jesus. Like, repeat in a voice loud enough for the person next to you, say, Lord Jesus, I give my life to you. I declare that you are the Son of the living God, that you came, you lived a perfect life, and you died for my sins, that I would have life with you forever. And you have been raised to life, and you are seated at the right hand of the Father, and you are there today as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so today, I make you, Jesus, the Lord of my life, and I choose to follow you from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we thank the Lord this morning? All right.